It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I have great confidence in General Milley.
President Biden on Wednesday proclaiming his support for General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. In a forthcoming book titled Peril, hitting shelves next week, Washington Post journalists Bob Woodward and Robert Costa say that Milley called his counterpart in China, General Li Zhongcheng, in October and again on January 8th because he was, quote, fearful Trump might spark war. Milley's spokesperson said the communications were part of Milley's normal duties to, quote, maintain strategic stability. Well, the former guy told the right-wing propaganda television channel Newsmax that Milley's actions, if true, amounted to, quote, treason. No, it's not treason. And thankfully, many other generals are coming out proclaiming their support for what Milley did as well. Additional reporting confirms that Milley did, indeed, consult with then-Secretary of Defense Esper before that October call, and that he spoke with Donald Trump's hand-picked replacement in January, though Acting Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller denies it. To be continued, I'm sure. Emotional and devastating testimony on Wednesday before the Senate Judiciary Committee by four American Olympic gymnasts who were all abused by former physician Larry Nassar. Simone Biles, Michaela Maroney, Maggie Nichols, and Allie Reisman all accused the FBI of botching its investigation into numerous allegations against Nassar. They also cited intimidation by the sport's governing body, USA Olympics. Simone Biles was the first to speak.
To be clear, I blame Larry Nassar, and I also blame an entire system that enabled and perpetrated his abuse.
All four gymnasts pointed fingers directly at the FBI for mishandling their allegations.
USA Gymnastics, in concert with the FBI and the Olympic Committee, were working together to conceal that Larry Nassar was a predator. I then proceeded to tell them about London and how he'd sign me up last on his sheet so he could molest me for hours twice a day. I told them how he molested me right before I won my team gold medal. How he gave me presents, bought me caramel macchiatos and bread when I was hungry. I even sent them screenshots of Nassar's last text to me, which was, Michaela, I love how you see the world with rose-colored glasses. I hope you continue to do so. This was very clear cookie-cutter pedophilia and abuse. And this is important because I told the FBI all of this, and they chose to falsify my report and to not only minimize my abuse, but silence me yet again.
Michaela Maroney. This spotlight on the FBI's horrific handling of this case brings up some old problems, too. Most notably, the agency and director Chris Wray's failure to investigate the over 4,500 tips that came in regarding then Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. So this is not over either, nor should it be. While the media seems intent on focusing on pitting one side against the other politically, the clock is ticking on the debt ceiling. This is an issue that we didn't have to deal with for the last 4 years because the Democrats worked with the former guy and the Republicans, and went along with his plan to suspend the debt ceiling until after the 2020 elections. The result is that Donald Trump oversaw the fastest increase in the national debt of any president in history. Remember, he campaigned on eliminating the national debt in 8 years. In reality, he added at least $8.3 trillion, increasing the debt by 38%, in less than 4 years. And now Mitch McConnell is telling Chuck Schumer that it's up to the Democrats alone to raise the debt ceiling. The bottom line is that if Congress doesn't do it soon, the U.S. government will default by the end of next month and risk serious damage to both the economy and our international reputation. In other news, President Biden on Wednesday announced a new military pact with Britain and Australia called AUKUS, A-U-K-U-S. All right, to share advanced technologies such as artificial intelligence, cyber operations, submarine systems, and long-range strike capabilities. The agreement was widely interpreted as a bid to counter China's expanding influence in the region. U.S. District Judge Lewis Kaplan in Manhattan on Wednesday refused to delay a lawsuit accusing the former guy of defaming former Elle magazine columnist E. Jean Carroll after she claimed he raped her in the mid-1990s. Trump's lawyers had asked to put the case on hold while they appealed an earlier ruling by the same judge. This order could let Carroll's lawyers obtain documents from Trump. Well, that is unless he appeals this ruling as well to block it, which of course he will. Carroll's lawyers also want to obtain a DNA sample from the orange one. You may recall Carroll sued Trump in 2019 after he denied her allegation that he raped her in a Bergdorf Goodman department store fitting room in Manhattan. The former guy said that Carroll wasn't his type and accused her of making up the story to sell her book. Oh, please. Well, I guess it's Elon Musk's turn again. SpaceX on Wednesday launched the first space mission with an all-civilian crew, something new in this private billionaire space race. They used a reusable Falcon 9 rocket and sent four people, a tech entrepreneur, a geoscientist, an aerospace data engineer, and a physician's assistant into orbit. Unlike the other two billionaire launches that spent mere moments outside of the Earth's atmosphere, these four will spend 3 days in space before splashing down in the Atlantic. The 38-year-old founder and CEO of a company called Shift for Payments, that's the tech entrepreneur, paid an unspecified amount for his seat on this mission. He also donated the other three seats and an additional $100 million to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. So at least something good comes out of this. And finally, we've reached another awful milestone in this pandemic. Johns Hopkins University revealing that 1 in 500 Americans have now died due to COVID-19. The death toll, officially at least 664,000 people, is likely a lot higher than that. This due to a lack of testing early on and the fact that infection rates are still dramatically high, even with vaccines widely available. The World Health Organization says that global coronavirus cases have seen their first substantial decline in more than 2 months after the Delta variant sparked widespread havoc. But cases in the U.S. remain high, notably among children. The WHO has called for all countries to inoculate 70% of their populations by the middle of 2022, in order to get the pandemic under control. We got a long way to go to get there. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Please visit NicoleSandler.com, look around, and don't forget to click on that donate button.